welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and professional speaker, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free Author 2.0 blueprint and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn and this is episode number 213 of the podcast. I'm actually recording this straight after the last show for an end of March show date as I'm about to head off to the US for 10 days. So just a quick intro today. I do have a tip-packed interview with Viv Oyolu coming up, the audio marketing expert, about how to use audio and podcasts to promote your book. And I also share loads of my own tips from the last 5 years of podcasting experience. And I was doing the show notes for this interview and it really is super packed. So remember, you can always get the show notes so you don't, and all the links and all that, if you go to thecreativepen.com/podcasts and find the episode. This is episode 213. And yeah, lots and lots of tips. And it's funny, you know, it was great doing the interview because I got to talk about my own experience. And also I'm at the point now where I will pretty much say no to any kind of written interview or guest post. And I generally only do audio interviews now because it's so much more enjoyable. I get to connect with somebody and also it's easier because, you know, to get on the phone with someone for 30 minutes, you know, we can get into so much stuff. Whereas if you try and spend 30 minutes writing an article for a guest post, you won't end up with much. I mean, it usually takes a couple of hours to do a guest post. So I've really switched to that now. So I'm generally happy to do interviews with more established shows and, you know, rather than doing guest posts. So that's quite fun. So yes, should learn lots from today's show. And in terms of an update, not much new to report since I just did a big intro for the last podcast. But I do want to recommend a book. Oh, and I should say that by the time you listen to this, I will have finished PubSense and I will have been to Charleston and Savannah and be on my way home again. So in the next show, I'll report back on that trip and how that went. But yes, I do want to recommend a book I'm reading at the moment, which is called Better Than Before by Gretchen Rubin. And she did The Happiness Project. And this book is all about habits. And what makes it, and obviously, I mean, habits and productivity, they're everywhere and people are always doing books on this stuff and I've read quite a lot of them, but this one is a bit different because it actually looks at the individual personality differences that stop us from putting advice into action. So you know, some people you know, are good with deadlines or internal motivation, others external motivation, other people are rebels, and there's like a test in the book so you can find out what personality type you are and figure out why you're having so many problems with your word count habit or your exercise habit or your meditation habit or whatever you want to do. So yeah, really interesting book, Better Than Before by Gretchen Rubin. It's also quite a, you know, humorous read. I'm quite enjoying it. Okay, this podcast episode is sponsored by 99 Designs. And of course, a brilliant book cover, as we all know, will help you stand out in the market. And I'll just go off on a tangent here because The Guardian recently picked up, you know, that Tumblr, which picks up the worst Kindle covers. So what's funny is the self-publishing stigma now seems to have moved. The last resort of attack from traditional media is now look at all the terrible covers. So please let us clean up our act and do a good book cover. I mean, there were some really funny ones, but you know, in order to sell, let's try and have a good one. So a brilliant cover will help you stand out, but you can also get matching logo, business cards, website design, packaging design, merchandise, t-shirts, bookmarks, and other things that will help you get your work out there. So if you generally need some design work, 99 Designs has all of that. Yes, book covers, but a lot more than book covers. And also remember, you can always change your book cover. And I mentioned this before, but I am now going forward with it. So I am now changing the titles and covers of my first three books. I won't reveal them now, but it's definitely happening, and I'll talk about that another time. But doing new covers can, you know, effectively rebrand your work, which is great if you're, you know, changing things up a bit after you've been publishing a few years, which is cool. And there's no risk with 99 Designs, as you only pay when you're happy with what is created. And there's lots of choice with multiple designers submitting work. And if you get a power pack upgrade, it gives your project more chance of getting noticed. You get bold headers, highlighted background, and featured listing by going to 99designs.com/Joanna, J-O-A-N-N-A. And as I've mentioned before, I did use 99 Designs for a custom illustration of The Key to the Gates of Hell, which features on my cover and inside the print book, which is stunning. And I was really happy with that. So 99designs.com/Joanna for a power pack upgrade on your 99 Designs project. Have super fun with that. So this corporate sponsorship pays for the hosting, but my time in producing this show is primarily sponsored by you guys. So a big thank you to all the people supporting on Patreon. And on Patreon, you can support me with a few dollars or even just $1 per show to a maximum of 2 shows a month, so less than a coffee a month. And you can support the show at patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Or, of course, you can buy my books. Thank you all for your support and thank you for listening. Okay, let's get on with the info-packed interview. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm here with Viv Oyolu. Hi Viv.
Hi Joanna, how are you doing?
I'm good. So just a little introduction. Viv is a radio presenter, a podcaster, and an audio marketing expert. She works with authors, businesses, and entrepreneurs to increase online visibility and engagement with audio. And Viv is also now the author of How to Use Podcasts to Promote Your Book, which is brilliant, because we're a podcast and we're talking about book marketing. So nice title, Viv.
Thank you.
Now, we've known each other a couple of years now, I guess, sort of, yes. You know, online. But tell us, tell everyone else a bit more about you and also your background in audio and marketing.
So I came into audio and, well, I'm a marketeer by profession. So my first degree is in marketing and I have an MBA, which I specialized in marketing. But 2001, I faith stepped in and I got to achieve my 30-year-old dream, which was always to be a radio presenter. And just by two very weird and very different conversations, I got to become a radio presenter. I wouldn't go into the full detail because it's just, you know, it was quite surreal how it happened. Yeah. But I got to become a radio presenter. And while I was on air in 2012, the radio station went offline. And I had built up my following as a radio presenter, interviewing female entrepreneurs. And I just thought, I had achieved this dream. Why would I let it go now that I loved it? It was the one thing I could do without really thinking hard about it. So I thought, why would I let this, you know, dream go? And I went and bought a microphone and started interviewing my guests. I had a 5-week waiting list at that point because lots of people heard about the show, they wanted to come on. So that I had grown as the interviewer for female entrepreneurs. So I got a microphone and I started interviewing around London, and I found, I interviewed you at the South Bank,
yes. Remember?
So I found that to be my regular spot. And then in 2014, I brought it online. So I just interview women entrepreneurs online, which is brilliant. So I interview people in the States, in Canada, due to interview someone in Australia soon. So I got into radio through that way. But my diversion, I guess, into audio as a communication tool started in 2012, when I noticed that the entrepreneurs who were coming on the show, who were authors at that time, were seeing the interview as a marketing tool. And I started doing a bit more investigation what was going on with podcasting. how that was working with business. I think in 2012, it hadn't quite exploded the way it is now. So I was doing some research, and then I got my show onto iTunes, and people just thought, wow, you have a show on iTunes. I didn't think it was a big deal, but so many other people thought it was a big deal. And when I sent out a link to the guests who had been on the show that I was now on iTunes, they were all excited for me. So I thought, oh, okay, this seems to be a tool that people would like. And I started investigating a bit more how it could work for authors. And then I came up with this idea that why wouldn't I just try and interview an author and look at different chapters within their book and see if they could use that as a tool. So I got five people together. I said, this is what I wanted to do. Would you be interested in test rolling my this idea I had? And they were like, yes, this sounds like a great idea. So I wrote out all the questions because I'd already got the skill of writing questions for interviews. It wasn't a difficult task to do. So I wrote out all the questions for the different chapters. I made sure they chose the chapters that were relevant to them. So wrote out the questions, interviewed them, and I split them up into different chapter interviews. So it was, if you thought of five chapters, and within each chapter would be about 4 to 5 minutes, and that gave a lot of content as a tool. So they liked it, and then I started marketing that and saying, look, this is what I do. I do audio interviews. Would you be interested in this? And then I started thinking about events and other ways that people could use audio as a tool. I came up with the idea of going to events. So at events, networking events and other events, you see people going around with a camera trying to get some vox pops on recommendations on what the event was like. I said, well, I'm sure this will work for audio. And I went to a couple of events and people were saying, oh, it's just a microphone. You don't have a camera with you. I said, no. They're like, oh, okay, I'll talk to you. So I got into all that and I did a couple of TEDx events doing that and they loved it. And I think the event organizers found out that they got a lot more content just doing the interviews, the audio interviews without the camera there. And I think from there, things just sort of snowballed into seeing audio as a tool. And I started investigating and blogging about audio and podcasts, you know, as a tool for businesses.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. And I mean, of course, what we've seen in the last week is Apple did their latest thing and announced that CarPlay is going to be installed in the biggest car manufacturers, and then Google Auto is the other one. So within the next, every new car that's going to be, you know, produced will have an automatic internet radio, you know,
connection.
Yeah, so I think it will be the final frontier, because of course everyone's using their smartphones right now, and as soon as there's a new podcast you can get it automatically instantly arrives. Yeah. And now it will be in the car, and I think this has to be the tipping point. We've seen a massive growth, haven't we?
Honestly, it's been amazing, and just seeing this now, I think everybody has to sit up. This is going to be a game changer for lot of people. And I hope people sort of pay attention to this new development. Technology has been driving a lot of how the way podcasts has sort of matured and grown. But I think this new development is going to make people realize that you can reach everyone now. Nobody's going to escape, you know, your reach.
Except they can choose. And I think that's, you know, that's what's important.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah, and people, you know, there's lots of podcasts I pick up and then I let go again because I don't necessarily connect with that show. But you're right. I mean, it will mean that people can listen. It actually also means people can listen to a lot more audio, you know, more easily, and they, you know, they won't have to just listen to the same repetitive news. They can listen to a whole load of shows, and you know, that's brilliant. So let's just talk about why someone's got a book. You know, it's either a physical book or it's an ebook, or it's an audio book. We'll come back to that. But why is audio an effective marketing mechanism? You know, why does audio enhance an author brand or help them stand out?
Well, the first thing is, your voice would do a lot more than the words on a page or on an audio or on a book device would do. Your voice will communicate your passion. It will communicate your personality. And I think people get the chance to connect with you directly. I mean, you can tell a lot about a person from the type of books they write, about an author from the types of book they write. But I think your voice goes so much further that you connect with people in a different way. And if you imagine, a number of people are auditory learners. And that's why audiobooks have sort of grown very substantially. But if you think about it, people can connect with you a lot more easily and get a sense of who you are. And we're in this era where people want to connect with people. It's more this personal people-to-people approach, and people sell books, people sell cars, people sell movies. So it's, we're in that era where everything is so personal that people want to connect with you. And if they know, like, and trust you, I think you're there. People want, and we use that in business terms, know, like, and trust. But I think that is quietly sipping into the publishing industry now with authors, that people want to know, like, and trust you. And then they want to buy your book and they become a fan, you know, that way. I think that's one way. And then the second thing is, you have an opportunity to go a lot further with audio. So say, for instance, I've done this interview now and people haven't heard about me before, or haven't heard about my book. I can put that out and people get to listen to me talking about what I do and my book. And I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. Let me go check it out. Mm. We're so time poor now that not everybody can read. Say if you're on the train, I mean, you know what it's like commuting in London. You don't have, if you have an audio piece, you can just put it in your ear and then you're one-on-one with that person. And it's a more personal feel. Mm. And you're more likely to want to investigate that further than say, okay, let me just go read a blog about someone.
And I think it's almost like sideways marketing in a way, isn't it? Because and that's why I don't like I'm going to be on some panels at some events. I hate panels at events.
Oh, really?
Well, you get to only say a very tiny thing, and I don't feel like you give enough value to an audience. With a podcast, like in 45 minutes, we can give value to the listeners and everybody listening. We can give lots of tips, and so they don't have to buy your book. But the people who want to go on and buy the book and get more from that will know that they really want it.
Yes.
And I feel really happy. And you know, I don't like the scammy marketing, and I know you don't. And the reason I like podcasting is because it really is this give loads of value and then for free. And then if people want to buy stuff or support the show, whatever, they can. So it's one of the least scammy marketing feeling. Like it feels good to podcast, don't you think?
I love it. Yeah. I love the medium of audio. It just allows me to connect with people in a different way. And I'll give you one instance. So I've been doing my radio show. I've interviewed about 300 women, and I was at this women's event. I think it was at Julie Hall's women's event. I think it was last year, the year before. And I was talking with a bunch of female entrepreneurs who had been on my shows. It was a nice reunion. And we're all laughing away. And someone just tapped me from behind and said, I know you from somewhere. And I turned around and I drew blank. And usually I don't draw blank when I see someone. I remember faces and names. And I said, oh, I don't know. I don't think I remember you. I said, you know, just looking at her, and, you know, I had this puzzled look on my face. And she said, you're the Dream Corner lady, aren't you? And I said, yes. She said, I listened to your interview. So I never met her, but she just heard my voice. And there was that instant connection. And she felt like she could just come up to me and tap me as if she knew me.
Yeah.
So there's that instant rapport.
I get that all the time. Which I really like. You know, people always say, oh, I've been listening to your podcast for years. And I'm like, I really appreciate it. But let's just talk about voice, because I think you have a lovely voice.
Oh, thank you.
And you originally from Nigeria, you've got that Nigerian. My sister-in-law is also Nigerian. Yeah. And there's just a lovely, I don't know what it is about.
It's a twang.
There's a way you say certain things that is recognizable to me, and I think it's very relaxing. Like, it's a relaxing, very tiny, but you know, it's there. So you have this lovely voice, and I remember when I started podcasting, and you hate your voice. Did you ever feel that you hated your voice?
I did. Yes. It's normal. So people who are listening and think, I want to start a podcast, I'm going to start recording audio, I don't like my voice, everybody goes through that. And I remember listening to the first interview I did, and my voice was so, I have a high-pitched voice, and when I'm excited, it's even higher. So you can imagine some people are reaching for the dial, and like, oh no, she's going to start screeching now. So I had to learn, and I went to see this voice coach, and she just said, she actually came on the show, and we're talking about communication. I was, you know, talking about different things, and I said, okay, I think I'm going to need to do something about my voice, because I was so excited with that show in particular. So I went to see her, and she said, you only have to talk from your lower diaphragm if that's the way your voice comes, so if you're high-pitched. And when you do that, your voice sounds calmer. And because audio is such a sensitive or intimate experience, I think, you, when your voice is calmer and you're talking from your lower diaphragm, people endear themselves to your voice, or people want to listen to your voice because you've made it more, you've made it easier for them to absorb the words that you're saying. So if I was talking like this, I can't even talk like that anymore because I've sort of gotten out of that habit. So now every time I'm doing anything audio, it's from my lower diaphragm, and it sounds a lot calmer, and people want to, so that's why you want to listen to me, because I sound a lot more calmer now.
That's interesting. And I have thought about a voice coach, recently I've been recording my own audiobook.
All right.
And it's been so hard, and I've really, the breathing is really difficult, and I've thought I need a voice coach because they help you with that. Like, I don't even have a clue what breathing speaking from the lower part of the diaphragm means. You need someone to like put their hand on your body, don't you, and help you like figure out what the hell's going on.
When you see one, because they'll listen to your voice and they know where the inflections are, they know the words that would take you higher. So they would tell you what you need to say or how you need to say it, so that you can naturally talk like that with an even tone just going forward.
Yeah. So, of course, not everyone listening is going to get a voice coach, me included. I've been doing this for five, six years now, and I've never had a voice coach. So you can podcast without one.
Exactly.
But what can authors do just without professional help? Like, what can authors do to maximize their audio impact in an interview, for example?
So in an interview, if they're planning to do interviews, and I recommend that authors go on different podcasts, but I think the key thing is they have to plan their book and to make it more effective. So a lot of people are thinking, oh, audio podcast interviews, how is it relevant to me? If you don't plan, and if you don't know the strategies to use, then it's not going to make sense to you going forward, and then it's not going to be effective in how you include it in your marketing plan, for instance. So I always say plan. And when you plan, you have to decide two things. Do you want the interview to market your book? So it's a promotion about your book, so you're talking mainly about your book, or it's just to raise awareness about you, your book, and your brand that you're doing. So I would say this interview I'm doing with you is to raise awareness of me, my book, and my brand, because a lot of people don't know me, and my book is not out yet, so I'm not talking specifically about the book. So I would say decide if that's what you want to achieve, or which objective you want to achieve, because you can't do both. You can't say, I want to raise awareness of my book and I want to raise awareness of my author brand, because I think you're diluting the and you're actually losing out or missing out on the opportunity to do one or the other separately. So do that, and once you've decided that, then you pick out the right content you want to share across each of the places you want to go on. So if I was going on another podcast and I was talking about my brand, or me and my brand, then I would sort of gear the interview towards other aspects of what we're talking about today. And when you do that, you give yourself an opportunity to have more content, because you've collected or structured what you want to put out after the interview in a different way. So you have more content that way, and more content that you have, it's easier for you to create, to repurpose it down the line. And I think a lot of authors haven't thought about it in those terms, because audio in the way it is now, and the way I talk about it as a tool, is relatively new for a lot of people to think, oh, we're used to writing blogs or going to speak at an event, but not really thinking about how you can use, or doing video, maybe a trailer of their book, but not really looking at how they can use audio in that way as a tool to, you know, communicate more about their book.
They've identified that, but just coming back to the voice thing, you know, just some specific tips for when you're on an interview. So, for example, if people are watching our video, they will see that we both smile a lot.
Yes.
And what is very important to get expression into your voice, which even if no one sees the video, to get it into your voice, you have to have expression on your face, don't you?
Absolutely. And you have to let your personality come through. So you're talking, you've structured what you want to go and talk about. You have to be excited about going to talk about your book. And when you smile, so even when I'm recording audio on my own, I smile because it comes through in your voice. And people get that sense of, oh, she sounds excited about this. Let me listen some more. So you have to give listeners that... I think it's a duty. You have to think about the listener. Whatever content you're putting out, always think about the person who is listening, and they're giving their valuable time to listen to something you've created. So, you know, take that into consideration and produce the best possible content. And your voice will carry a lot more. Sometimes the content might not be so good, but your voice would actually take it over that finish line for the listener. So smile a lot.
Yeah.
Let your personality come through. So I laugh. So I would make fun about myself and say things that would get people to sort of endear themselves to me. Think, oh yeah, I do that a lot. So I don't.
Just being natural. I mean, it's actually just being natural. But sometimes, like, I do think that you do. Sometimes when I'm really tired, I can't record. You know, because I can't push that energy out. So you do have to do it when you're feeling like you have some energy, or you have to, if you're going on a radio show or whatever, you have to fake that energy.
Yes.
Have a hot chocolate or something. Yes. You know,
boost your mental energy up. And I would advise, if people are thinking about going on interviews, they should space them out so they're not there's not fatigue or, oh, I have another one tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, once it gets like that, then it's not fun. You don't want to do it, and the person or the people who have turned up to listen to you, I think it's unfair that you know you don't put out the right energies. It's not right. So don't do that to yourself.
I agree. And that comes back to what you said about almost splitting up your content and making sure, like, you could go on, like, you personally could go on a you know, a health and fitness blog. And you can talk to that audience in one kind of angle. And here we're talking about authors in particular. So that you can talk to different audiences, and that will put a different spin on it. But another thing I think a lot of people get wrong is just pushing their book all the time. And I mean, that's like a number one issue. It's like, no, when someone asks a question, then they say, oh, but well, if you read chapter 3... So what are the, I mean, and giving value, as we said, I think is really important. So what are some of the other things that people get wrong when they do audio, or like some of the no names, but some of the worst interviews you've had?
The one of the worst, this is a podcast that I good thing I can't remember his name, but he's honestly, he's sort of, you know, a celebrity in the online celebrity. And he was interviewing another guy, and he was the host, and this other guy had brought this guy on because he was the expert, and he kept on talking over the guest. So the guest was going to say something, and, oh, you know, he would talk over him, and he would say something, oh, when I used to work for Coca-Cola, or when I was, you know, consulting for Coca-Cola or Google, or so he was name dropping. And on the reverse, the converse of that is if the guest is doing something along those lines where you're name dropping, or you want people to realize that you're a hotshot, or, you know, you've done some big, you have some big clients. And I think you put some people off, because you have to remember the person who is listening is just a regular guy. And if they're aspiring to be, you know, to the position you are, you can actually put them off when you're, you know, you're going on about yourself. So if you don't plan, that's not a good sign. Talking over the host as well is something that I it's happened to me as a host where the guests were, I was trying to ask a question and the guest just went on, you know, talking, you know, over what I was trying to ask, because it was a follow-on question from what they had said, and I thought it was an interesting point to raise and sort of take the conversation further. And then another thing which I find is where you ask a general question and they sort of go round and round and then they end up saying, oh, where was I? What was the question you asked again? And they lose track of where they were. They've lost the listener. But more importantly, they've lost the train of thought of the interviewer. So someone like me, I'm like, okay, so what was the question again? So I now have to remember the question that I had asked. And you've gone round and round because you were trying to get in as much as possible, especially referring to your book, that, you know, this was the point you were trying to make. So those sorts of things are a return of, and when you listen back to it as the interviewee, you'd be disappointed, and then you don't want to share the interview as well because it didn't come out right, you didn't perform well, but you've wasted your time, and people who've tuned in, you've wasted their time. So it's a double whammy there.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you've talked there about people going really long, which, you know, can definitely be annoying, but also people who are really short, like you ask them a question and then they do like a one line answer. And then you're like, okay. You know, so I think if people are on an interview, they, you know, you have to judge. It's a conversation.
Yes.
But you do have to give a decent answer with value, you know, to the listener, answering the proper question, respect to the interviewer. I mean, when you think about it, there are quite a lot of social etiquette, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. There are lots of social etiquettes. And I think having respect for the person who is interviewing you is key as well. So you're a professional. You've written a book. You're an author. That is a profession. And take it that way. You know, take yourself and see yourself as a professional and not too laid back. Because I think with podcasts, it's not traditional radio. So we can just, you know, chill out.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's actually a serious medium and serious people are listening to get value. So take that into consideration and, you know, sit up straight and, you know, don't let your words just roll over. Because
you never know who's listening. I mean, exactly. I've learned that so much. And the other thing is to never assume that the interviewer has read your book. In fact, they generally won't have read your book. So you often need to provide talking points.
Yes.
Or make sure your website's good, you know. Or you can provide your book, they may skim through it. But generally, I mean, you wouldn't have read every book of your clients, right?
Oh, no. I think a lot of them would like me to have read it so I can do a review, but I can't. I can't do that. So I would skim through the table of contents and just pick out things that I think my listeners would be interested in, and there'll be good talking points. I think because I've done it for a number of years now, and I've done a number of shows, I understand good talking points and good hooks for listeners. And I think the author has to do that, and that's why I say the planning is really important. If you look through your book, you can see the different topics that you've written that would be good conversation points, and you can expand on during the interview. So if you're approaching it, you know, a host and say, oh, I would like to feature on your show. These are some talking points I would like to cover. Would it be in line with what you do? You ask, but you should know that answer actually before
you shouldn't pitch, you know, somebody who it won't fit.
Basically. Exactly. And you know, and that's something a lot of authors do, you know, I have to, that's a good point, because I have seen, and I posted something on Google Plus, this was some months back. It was just a poster with a comment, make sure the host is suited to you and your brand. And a podcasting host came back to me and said, that is such a good point, because I get people coming onto my show or requesting to come onto my show. And they say, so what's your show about again? And like, did you not look to see or read or listen to a previous podcast to find out if this was the right show for you and your book? It's the same thing as if you're a thriller writer, you want to go on a health show. how is that relevant to your
book? Unless, you know, this is the thing with fiction. I mean, you do non-fiction authors mainly, don't you? I mean, I came on as a joint kind of author. But for fiction authors, it's actually quite difficult. And you often end up talking about your writing process or about the themes. So I ended up on a psychology podcast talking about some of the themes of psychology in my books.
But that's good.
Which was fantastic. But a health and fitness, I know somebody who writes books with like a protagonist who's a sailor, you know, so that could be in a sailing podcast. Or so I think if you have a theme that matches, or that if you, so Hugh Howey, who's a massive indie author, he's just bought a boat and is going to go live on a boat. So again, he could go on like sailing podcasts. So I think about either things in you, who you are. So you could go on Nigerian podcast, doesn't matter if they've got anything to do with
authors.
Yeah, or whatever. You know, there's lots of different ways you can angle it, but you know, I wouldn't go on a romance writer's podcast, for example.
No, and this is something I talk about. I say, if you look at the themes within your book, because when you're planning, these are the things you should do. Brainstorm, you know, use a mind map to identify the different themes or different hooks within your book, even if you know, fiction and nonfiction, that you can target to a new audience. Because This is the magic in podcasting now, is that there's so many podcasts available that you can pick and choose. If you looked at the themes in your book, you could easily have five. Easily, if you've written it with different, you know, angles to it, you can easily have five, and then you can pick and choose which of these podcasts you want to go on, because there is a podcast in every genre. I don't care what anybody says, there's a podcast in every genre, so you can use that as a way to get in. And then, because you're creative anyway as an author, you can sort of say, okay, if I've written a thriller, then there are different things about my character. I can talk about how I created the character, how that character came to life, and the different things he did within the book that gives more to the depth of your book. And someone who is listening will think, I want to go read that book now. She's talked about this character so much that he sounds great, or she sounds great, so I want to go read the book. So that's how I want people to see the podcast, as a tool that extends the reach of your book to different markets and different audiences.
Yeah, and then you do talk in your book about making sure the audio is heard. So, you know, what are some of your kind of tips around getting the word out about that audio and repurposing that audio?
Yeah, so some people, depending on the host, you may get the raw audio. So apart from it being on the host's website, you may get the audio file. And I think people should ask for that. Mm. And I think a lot of hosts would give that because they understand it's a marketing tool. And when you get that, you know this tool called Audacity, which is very easy. It's free. Mm-hmm. You know, you can use it. And there are lots of how to use Audacity on YouTube to get you to understand how to get started with that. But when you have that, you can, because you've planned the interview, you can split the different sections of the interview and create mini bits that people can listen to. And there's a tool which you and I know called SoundCloud, which we'll talk about in a second. But you can use SoundCloud to do that, because SoundCloud allows you to have 180 minutes for free, which I think is a lot. So 3 hours, that's a lot of content that you can have, and you can sort of chop into different bits. But apart from using SoundCloud, you can actually create videos as well. So you can either use the full interview that you've created, or you can use bits of it. So you can chop it. And because you might think, oh, it's the same content, but there's some people who only are on YouTube. That is their information, entertainment base. They do not go anywhere else. And you have an audience there. This is the thing with the way technology is, that people are consuming in different formats. So you can't assume that there's nobody who would listen, or nobody who would read your book on that platform. And then the other thing is, you can create a blog post. So if you transcribe it to words, you get a lot out of it. So a 45-minute, so if you just think, 2 minutes of audio is approximately 350 words. That is a lot. So if you've done a long interview for 30 minutes, you just do the math. You see that you have a lot. You can have two or three blog posts within that, you know, for your own purpose. And also you can send part of that interview to a publication and say, oh, this is an interview I did. I would like to write a feature based on this interview for your magazine or for your blog. And people hearing your voice will get a feel of who you are. And that makes it easier for them to decide if they want you to write a feature for them.
Mm. Yeah, all of that's great. And it's funny you say that about YouTube. There are people who listen to this on YouTube, and people, I've had an email, someone said, you know, what I like to do is just have a quick look, see, you know, have a look at the face of whoever it is, and then it just, it's on in the background. So a lot of people do listen to the show on YouTube, but they don't sit and watch us for 45 minutes. They just put it on their phone or whatever it is. So you're right about audio. And in fact, I haven't done this, but you mentioning in that now, just using an audio file with a picture of you and the host, for example, is fine.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
YouTube.
Yes. Yeah. Because people want to, they see your face and they say, oh, that's who she's talking to. Yeah. Oh, great. And then they're listening, they're absorbing the content that you are sharing. Mm. You know, they want to make that connection with you. And a photograph is a good way to.
Photograph is fine. And we clean up better that way. But, but just on, just talk about SoundCloud, because, you know, I started using SoundCloud to put my podcast on, and then I gave up because, of course, you have to pay the premium level. So yeah. I didn't use it, and I don't use it enough. Tell me why SoundCloud is so good and whether I should be using it more.
I love SoundCloud, and if they would pay me, I would be their ambassador for the written word, for the spoken word. I would be their ambassador. I think it's a brilliant tool. So if people don't know, SoundCloud was originally created for musicians, for artists, musical artists, but they soon found out that people with the spoken word was, they could include it. I think maybe that was just part of their phase of development. But some of the things that they do, one of the reasons why I like it, it is built purely for social engagement. Mm. And for an author, that is what you want. You want to engage with your fans, people who are listening to it. So whatever content you put out there, people can listen and then make a comment at the exact point they've listened to something that was relevant to them, that was interesting, that meant something to them. They can tell you how they feel. It's a sort of instant pulse of instant feedback to whatever you've created. And if you have a large following, then people make comments, and I've put out, you know, stuff, and people have made comments. Even the interview I did with you, and someone made a comment at an exact point that, oh, I so got what Joanna was saying at this point, you know. So that's nice, that's instant feedback. But the other thing is, you can, you know, apart from chopping and changing, chopping the different interviews up, you can decide where to share it to. So it has, you know, like I said, social engagement built in, where you can share to Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Pinterest. So those are the four major social media platforms, and it's easy to embed. Mm. So the thing is, when you do a podcast and it goes on to iTunes, if people are not subscribed there, then people don't really get to listen to it. But you have the chance every now and again to just repost it. And it's less than 30 seconds to do it from SoundCloud. You just go in, and because your accounts have all been hooked up, all your social media accounts, you just go and you just say press and send. So if you've sent it this week and you want to send it next week, you can do that. Mm. You can also include that in your social media campaign that you're doing. So that gives you more leverage. You can just keep on using it over. I mean, people write blog posts from last year and they still post it on. Why can't you post your audio? Because new people are coming on, and it would be on different feeds, you know, on social media. So don't think because you've just sent it out once, you can't send it out again. And the other thing is, if you have a new book out, there's now a buy button. So you can.
Yeah, I've seen that, and that's really good. And you can use an affiliate link, I think, in there.
Yes, you can. So you can send, you can put your link there, and people who are listening, oh, I like that, I want to buy that, and then click straight to Amazon, or if it's to your website that you have the content on. Mm. But the other thing I think is really good is that people can make that instant connection. You know, we're talking about going onto YouTube and you know, getting, looking at the face or whoever it is, you have the opportunity to have a photograph on and talk about what exactly you is that that interview is about. So you can say, oh, interview with Viv, talking about podcasting or whatever. So people know instantly, oh, do I want to listen to this? Is this relevant to me? And, you know, go on. But the one other thing which I think is really, really cool is that people, your fans can embed that on their website. Mm. So I did an interview with Andy, who you and I know, Andy Malum. And someone else took that interview and embedded it on his website. So I get a lot of listens from his own website. So imagine your fan, who is a super ultra fan of yours, can take your interview and just embed it on their website. And more people are getting to hear about you because your fan has it on their website and they're sharing it and more people are engaging with you. So I think when you think about it, you're extending your reach in many ways just from having that piece of audio on SoundCloud.
Yeah, I think at the moment I'm using it mainly for my when you do an audiobook, you can have a, you know, a 5-minute, 15-minute excerpt.
Right.
And I'm using that on SoundCloud. But I think like any platform, you have to have regular content to get any traction.
Yes.
So I think just having the occasion, like if people have 5 videos on YouTube across a year, it's not going to do anything. Yeah. Same probably on SoundCloud. So I like the idea. So thank you for that. Very interesting. Yeah. And just on audiobooks, we're almost out of time, but do you have any particular comments about audiobooks or, you know, how that's going?
Audiobooks are doing really, really well. I know last year when ACX reduced the price for authors, that people were going to, were saying, oh, they're not going to use it anymore.
The royalty.
Yes, royalty. But I think if you're not on ACX, then there are less people who are going to hear about you. Unfortunately, I don't want to say unfortunately, but Amazon are the king in this market. They've opened it up for a lot of people. And they're a business at the end of the day. So they have to make money. But they're still giving you money as well. And I think if you've written a book, you've printed a book, you have an ebook, you should have an audiobook because people are listening to content in different ways. Our lifestyles have changed. People want to listen as well as do other things. So I think you should incorporate that in your marketing plan and sort of understand when you want to do it down the road and plan for it as you go along. Mm. So definitely, I think you should do that. I'm going to do one. I don't know when.
Well, I've just finished. You mentioned Andy Mardell. I've just finished recording with him. So,
oh, did you go to his studio? Yeah, I like it. That's why I did my interview with him in his.
Yeah,
studio.
The studio. It was amazing doing it in a pro studio, and I'll talk about that on another show. But it was it was really fun. Okay, so tell us what you have for authors and what people can find on your website.
Okay, so my website is theaudiomarketingexpert.com. We're having this conversation before then. So theaudiomarketingexpert.com. And there's lots of blog posts I've written. But my book is coming out on the 13th of April, but it will be on pre-sale by the 1st of April. So people will be able to pre-order it. But I think the most important thing for authors to know is that this book is really a how-to guide. You will get a lot of tips and suggestions on why audio is important for you. And it will sort of spark your imagination and your creativity of different things that you can do with audio and with audio content and podcasts. And actually get more people to want to go and do podcast interviews. I just feel sorry for some hosts who are going to be bombarded by request for podcasts, but it's going to be worth it at the end of the day once you've planned and you understand how you're going to use it in your marketing campaign. I think audio is such a tool now that you can't exclude it from what you do. So you have to take it into consideration for your marketing as well. And also, if they wanted to create a bespoke interview, so something they can have in their media kit that is tailored to them and their book and their brand, then they can go to the Audio Marketing Expert to book, and it's under the tab Meet the Author.
Brilliant. That sounds like fun. All right, so thanks so much, Viv. That was fantastic.
Thank you for having me on, Joanna.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. You can also get your free author 2.0 blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.